Ramsey TV.
I gotta do it. I gotta do it today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am forced by circumstances to deal with the age of the human race. But that is fine. It's about time I talked about this. Well, in fact, I have talked about it extensively in my sub-series of the Revelation series called The Final Years of Millennium 6. But the age of humanity, which is, by the way, 6,000 years, and I can prove it in Scripture, but my scriptural contention, it's not even my contention, it's the Word of God. As you can see, I'm holding up the Word of God here. This is the Hebrew, this is the Greek Scriptures, but I also have the Hebrew Scriptures at my ready disposal, and I will use them, I can use them, I shall use them against the contention that, wait a minute, no, humanity is not 6,000 years old. It's at least twice that. So, Zender, your 6,000-year theory, which is not a theory, is all wet. This is coming from our friend, my friend, Tony Smith in Tennessee. And love the guy. He is my go-to guy for InDesign questions. I hope he still will be after this video. I called him a scoffer, according to 2 Peter, and he didn't like that, of course. I could understand why he wouldn't like that. Maybe I shouldn't have done it, but he scoffed. He said that he doubted that any of these end time prophecies were correct because, again, he went the Clyde Pilkington route. There have been so many disappointments, so many wrong prophecies, so how do you know you're right? Oh, I thought that was the end of it. But, and I was like, well, you know, that's a bad proof you're using there. And in fact, it's the quote proof the scoffers use of 2 Peter. Everything has continued thus, right? And I mentioned to you before, I wasn't going to bring this up again, but it was actually my sister that said, have you seen Tony Smith's contentions about the age of humanity? I said, no. So I went and looked, and I'm like, oh, here comes the carbon 14 dating again. Carbon 14 versus the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, sacred scriptures, namely the book of Genesis, written by the only person who was there at the creation of Adam, God, versus carbon. Yes, carbon decays at a regular rate, but nobody knows how much carbon is in the fossil to begin with. That's the main key here, and I'm going to get into that here. I'm going to get into the details, and I'm going to show you that it's easy to count the years of Adam in the Word of God. It's easy. You just get a calculator to add up the numbers, and God gives us that, and I'm going to give you that. So this isn't Tony Smith versus Martin Zener. This is Tony Smith versus Genesis. Ooh, I wouldn't want... That's an unfair fight. It's an unfair fight. Here's the thing. If Scripture says that the years from Adam to the first coming of Christ are 4,000 years. Well, actually, 3,983. Then by God, that's the number of years. And if this technique that was discovered by humans about measuring the decay rates of carbon atoms or molecules, whatever, if that were universally accepted, and if every single person, every scientist, every entity on the internet and beyond, if everyone agreed that carbon 14 dating was irrefutable and completely dependable, if everybody agreed to that, I would still hold to Scripture, because Scripture tells me that at the time of Christ, mankind was 3,983 years old. And we have 2,000 years since then. So, as you know, we are approaching the 6,000 years from Adam, which fits in with a 6-1 ratio. I've discussed that before. 6,000 years given to humanity, 1,000 years of God stopping. It's perfect. Corresponds with the 6 days of creation. I don't know what carbon dating has to say about that, and I don't give a damn, because carbon dating is not accurate. But, even if it was, even if everybody agreed that it was, let God be true, though every man a liar. Every man. Even if there was a scientific consensus, and the scientific consensus says humanity is 15,000 years old, but the scripture says it's 6,000 years old, let God be true, though every man a liar. But my job is much simpler than that, because there's not a consensus. Not everyone agrees that carbon 14 dating is accurate. Isn't that glorious? So that gives me even more of a reason. Not that I need more of a reason. I don't. The scripture is true. So if you want to go read Tony Smith's comments, go ahead. I'm not going to read them here. I think he's commenting on one of my scoffer videos. And yeah, he didn't like it that I called him a scoffer. I don't blame him, but this is about the truth. It's not about a friendship. Because our friendship holds, at least from my end it does. I trust it does on his end too. And I called, you remember I called Clegg Pilkington the chief of the scoffers because he actually published in his newsletter a list of all the failed prophecies. Oh, look at all these failed prophecies, as if it would be so heartrending and crushing for anyone trying, and anyone seeing in the scriptures the pattern and seeing the 6,000-year, 1,000-year pattern. And like, oh my God, look at all these failed prophecies. I didn't know there were so many. Oh God, there were 3 failed prophecies in 1541. Oh God. Who cares? It doesn't matter if there were 1,000,000 failed prophecies. How does that affect the right one? How does that affect the true one? How does that affect the truth? How does a bunch of losers not understanding the 6,000-year principle, how does that affect the 6,000-year principle being true? And how does carbon 14 dating, well, this fossil was discovered here and they carbon 14 dated it and everybody knows it's completely accurate. I mean, Mr. Smith is making these hyperbolic contentions concerning carbon 14 dating, which are invalid because it is not foolproof, as we are going to see from a scientific journal. But first, should I do that first? What should I do first? Oh, did I mention my plant here? This is a fake poinsettia, if you're looking at the kitchen cam. I had it at Christmas here. It's fake. I thought it was an interesting addition. I might have mentioned it already. I'm not sure. I started this video once before, and I didn't like the start, so I re-recorded, and I can't remember if I mentioned that in the first or the second take. So this is take 2. What you're watching here is take 2. Don't often do that, but I won't tell you why I had to do 2 takes, but I did. Okay, now let's go to the science. I want to do that first. So we have this site called Science Daily. Let me put my spectacles on here. ScienceDaily.com. This is from June 5th, 2018. Comes out of Cornell University. And here's the header here. Radiocarbon dating is a key tool archaeologists use to determine the age of plants and objects made with organic material. But new research shows that commonly accepted radiocarbon dating standards can miss the mark. Ooh-ooh. Calling into question historical timelines. Missed the mark. It's interesting that this article written by a guy named, where's this guy's name? I can't see his name here. Who cares? Daniel Aloy. This article mentions missing the mark. New research shows commonly accepted, and Tony Smith accepts it like gospel. In fact, he chooses it over the Word of God, which is not good form, and I'm surprised he does that. I'm really shocked. His comments, Mr. Smith's comments on my YouTube video didn't even address for one second any of my scriptural offerings, any of my texts that I brought up from scripture, not once addressed. And I'm going to challenge him to address the Word of God here. Yes. This isn't Tony Smith versus Martin Zender. This is Tony Smith versus Genesis. But back to this article, Cornell University, June 5th, 2018. Radiocarbon dating is a key tool archaeologists use to determine the age of plants and objects made with organic material. But new research shows the commonly accepted radiocarbon dating standards can miss the mark. Miss the mark. I love that. That's the definition of sin. They can sin. Wow. Human radiocarbon dating techniques can miss the mark. They can sin? Wow. Does God sin when he lists the years from Adam, the generations from Adam? Does he sin when he tells us 2008 years from Adam, Abraham was born, or that 3,983 years after Adam, Christ came on the scene, or the 2,000 years after Christ? Here we are making a total of nearly 6,000 years now from Adam, because humanity is only 6,000 years. This is scoffed at by Mr. Smith. Scoffed. I mean, he's mean. He's mean in this article. I mean, in his comments. Kind of mean. I had to have a drink to soothe my hurt feelings. But I hurt his feelings. So, again, this is all about the truth. It's not about a friendship. Don't worry about that, at least from my end. He can call me any name in the book, and he's still going to be my friend, because I still want him to help me on InDesign. I'm going to read a little more of this article. Archaeologist Stuart Manning and colleagues have revealed variations in the radiocarbon cycle at certain periods of time, affecting frequently cited standards used in archaeological and historical research relevant to the southern Levant region, which includes Israel, southern Jordan, and Egypt. These variations, or offsets of up to 20 years, you may think, well, that's not much. Hang on. Of up to 20 years in the calibration of precise radiocarbon dating could be related to climatic conditions. Really? You mean different climatic conditions could affect the consistency of radiocarbon dating? You mean that the hemisphere you're on could affect the accuracy of radiocarbon dating? What about if you don't even know how much carbon is in a thing to begin with? And what if the decay of carbon is not consistent over long periods of time? Yes, what about that? So now we shall go to a biblical site. This is called truthingenesis.com, but it's also very scientific. Listen to this quote. This is by a man named Dr. Kent Hovind, I believe. Let me double check that. It's truthingenesis.com. Carbon dating flaws. You got to love that. Listen to this. If you find a fossil in the dirt, the amount of carbon-14 can be measured. Nobody's debating that. Tony, I'm not debating that the amount of carbon-14 can be measured and the rate of decay can be determined. No arguments there. However, that is all that can be determined. It is impossible to know how much carbon-14 was in it at death, speaking of a formerly living being, and it is impossible to know if carbon-14 has always decayed at the same rate. Let God be true, though every man a liar. Let God be true. And we're going to see in Genesis that God is right. God has the numbers. And human has carbon-14 dating, which, yes, you can measure the amount of carbon-14 in a thing. You can measure the rate of decay, but that's all you can do. Again, you can't know how much carbon-14 was in it at its death. That's a variable that cannot be accounted for. Or if the carbon-14 thing has always decayed at the same rate. Listen to this. This is so true. I love this. I never thought of this before. If the Earth had a canopy of water above the atmosphere, if the Earth, we know the Earth had a canopy of water above the atmosphere. In Genesis, God said he separated the waters from the waters. So there was waters above the earth and waters below the earth. And we know that during the flood of Noah, the canopy of water above the earth came down and the water broke up also from within the earth. So if the earth had a canopy, I'm quoting now from the article, if the earth had a canopy of water above the atmosphere or a canopy of ice, that would have blocked out a lot of the radiation from the sun. Yes, it sure would have. This is why people lived for 900 years, 900 years, because it did block a lot of the radiation from the sun. In fact, the sun was diffused. It wasn't a direct hit. It was diffused like a photographic umbrella or some kind of soft filter where you put a key light through a filter and it diffuses it and it makes it more general, more broad. It's not as intense. Therefore, there's not as much radiation. There's not as much carbon. Listen to this. Now, that would have prevented most of the carbon-14 from even forming. Animals that lived before the flood would have lived in a world with much less carbon-14 to begin with. But the assumption of the scientists, scientists assume things? Let me tell you something, but true science will never disagree with scripture. It will always be in perfect accord. But assumptive science, science that assumes that everything always had the same amount of carbon or that carbon decays at the same rate all through history. I mean, even today, they don't have it right between hemispheres. And that's contemporaneous hemispheres. It's not the northern hemisphere 1,000 years ago, the southern hemisphere 50,000 years ago. No, today, it's different in both hemispheres. So if that's true today and it's calling into question readings these guys, these scientists so-called, used to all take for granted, and Mr. Smith takes it all for granted, and I'm going to challenge him to do something here that he's not doing. That would have prevented, back to the article, most of the carbon-14 from even forming. Animals that lived before the flood would have lived in a world with much less carbon-14 to begin with. There may have been none at all, but the amount would certainly be less than what we have today. And here's a quote in this article. This is a quote from two gentlemen, T. Saab Soderberg and I.U. Olson, from the Institute of Egyptology and the Institute of Physics, respectively, from the University of Uppsala, Sweden, in an article titled C14 Dating an Egyptian Chronology and Radiocarbon Variations in Absolute Chronology. Now, there's a sexy title for you. These were proceedings of the 12th Nobel Symposium, just so you know. This is what they said, quote, if a C14 date supports our theories, we put it in the main text. If it does not entirely contradict them, we put it in a footnote. And if it is completely out of date, we just drop it, unquote. Nice. Oops. The writer says, so does this mean that they simply choose any number that they want? That is exactly correct. If the number doesn't fit what they expected, they throw the number out. I love this quote. Here's some things to consider about carbon dating. When something of known age is dated, it doesn't work. When they've carbon dated things that they know exactly how old they are, the carbon dating is off. It doesn't work. When something of unknown age is dated, carbon dating is assumed to work. Is that science? When something of known age is dated, it doesn't uniformly work. This is how they've operated with this. When something of unknown age is dated, carbon dating is assumed to work. That's illogical, isn't it? It's the farthest thing from science. Let's turn from pseudoscience and Tony mocked. He mocked me because he said, you're going to mock science. I'm sure you're going to become a scoffer zender because you're going to mock science. Well, no, I would never mock science. I mock bullshit science. I mock assumptive science. I mock science that doesn't know that there was a canopy of water over the earth that would limit the amount of carbon that even began, that would even reside in these fossils. Let's turn now to the Word of God. That'll be refreshing. I'm going to read some genealogies to you. It's from Genesis chapter 5. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Any questions so far? Okay. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. Any questions so far? Enosh lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Mahalalel lived 65 years, not 66, not 64, not 72. No, but that man with too many vowels and consonants in his name lived 65 years and he begot Jared. Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. You see what's happening here? We are adding up the years from Adam. Let me give you an example. If I lived 25 years and had a son, I'm 25 years old and I have a son, and his name is Paul. How many years have passed in my life? 25. I lived to be 25 years. At my 25th year, I have a son. That son, he lives 25 years and he has a son. How many years have transpired? 25 plus 25, 50. It's that simple. Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Methuselah lived 187 years. That wasn't his entire lifespan, but that was how old he was when he begot Lamech. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, called his name Noah. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, not the 18th day, not the 15th day, but the 17th day of the month. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven. Here we go with that troublesome canopy of water above the earth that screws up all the carbon 14 dating. What do you know? What do you know? They hadn't counted on that. The windows of heaven were opened. Added up, this equals 1,656 years. Why? Because we can add. And God continues to add. So the flood hit in the year 1656. That's not 1656 AD or BC. That's 1656 from Adam. That's how many years from Adam. So who came out of the boat after the flood? Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. The only guy we care about here is Shem, because this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old. So you add 600 years. Noah was 600 years old. So you know when he was born, how many years had transpired from Adam when Noah was born. You add 600 years because God provides these numbers. These are numbers. This is pretty solid, I would say. This is the word of God. This is the genealogy of Shem. Okay, thank you very much, God. Shem was 100 years old, begot Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood. Arphaxad lived 35 years, begat Salah. Salah lived 30 years, begat Eber. Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. Peleg lived 30 years, begat Reu. Reu lived 32 years. On it goes, on it goes, on it goes. Then it gets to Terah, who was the father of Abraham. My friend F.H. Bader, in the book Chronology of the Bible, which is so intensely mathematical, it's unbelievable. He has the age of Abraham. He has the years from Adam of Abraham's birth as 2008. 2008. In the year 2008, from Adam, Abraham was born. And historians, we all know Abraham lived 2000 B.C. So 2,000 years to Abraham, another 2,000 years to the coming of Christ. That's 4,000 years from Adam to the coming of Christ, approximately. It's 3,983. And you have to figure out where the dating starts from the time of Christ. Is it from his birth? Is it from the public announcement of his ministry in Nazareth? Is that where we start counting? I believe so, because that's a jubilee year. I went all through that. Here's my challenge to Tony Smith. Tony Smith, Scripture says, we'll just take it to Abraham. 2008 years from Adam to Abraham. Where are these numbers wrong, Tony? When Scripture says Adam lived 130 years and begot a son and named him Seth, did God mean 130 years? Or because that doesn't work out with your carbon 14 thing of humanity is 14,000 years. Well, scientists measured it. Scientists went out and they measured it. They found a skull of some guy in the ice and they measured it with carbon 14 dating. And it said he was 14,200 years old. So by God, your theory of humanity being younger is all wrong. My theory. You're the one with the theory. You're the one with the carbon dating system that not universally accepted as 100% accurate. And not even taking into account the canopy of water over the earth until the year 1656 from Adam. I got numbers here. So tell me, where do these numbers turn into fiction? When the Bible says Adam lived 130 years, did he really mean 1,300 or did he mean 13,000? I mean, Seth lived 105 years. So we have an elapsed time. We have 130 plus 105. We have 235. Did God mean to say 1,235? Where do you call that into question? Where do you call into question any of these numbers from Genesis chapter 5? And in Genesis chapter 11, the genealogy of Shem going through to Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serach, Nahor, Terah, Abraham. Where are those numbers wrong? Because, my friend, if we add these numbers up, and we have, at the time of Christ, humanity is 4,000 years old. 3983. I'll put that up against carbon 14 dating anytime. So I don't know why you're doing, I don't know how you could be doing this. I don't know how you could be ignoring. You don't even address me bringing these things up. You don't even address it. So instead of promoting the so-called scientific method of carbon dating, instead of promoting that, tell me where the scripture's wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where these numbers of years that allow us to know the years of humanity, that allow us to count the years so that we know the passage of 6,000 years, so that we can, as Jesus said, watch and wait. According to you, you're throwing all this into disrepute. You're throwing scriptures into disrepute. You're throwing Genesis 5 and Genesis 11 into disrepute. I'm throwing carbon 14 dating into disrepute.